Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
It is sex therapy time, lads.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
As always with this chat, a little ears warning here, but you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show, because today we're going to talk about STIs. Did you know, I mentioned this earlier, and it's actually quite frightening, 50% of sexually active people will have at least one STI by the age of 25. Let's talk about it. No better woman to talk to is our relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. She's on the line. Good morning, Rachel.
Morning, Jen. How's it going?
Well, I'm not great after hearing that statistic. It's quite frightening, actually, isn't it?
It's scary, but there's ways that we can really normalize this. You know, it's actually really about having more information, because that's the problem here. People don't have the information, and we need to be having so many more open conversations about this, and just to have the knowledge of how to practice, you know, safer sex and how to be aware of the risks and how to manage that.
Why is there still such a stigma around STIs?
You know, I think that this is a lot to do with, as I said, it's the misinformation. Most people just really have not gotten good sex education. There's a lot of very, you know, up and down, accurate, inaccurate bits of, you know, resources out there. People are learning stuff from, you know, resources like porn, which doesn't, you know, often doesn't give you the right sort of information at all. You know, it's just, I think there's also the hangover of religion in certain places, and just still a lot of shame around sex and bodies that we haven't quite gotten over yet. So that's what I think it's about.
Do you think in the porn industry, if they, you know, threw on a Johnny before they got down and dirty, that would help?
Well, you certainly see some sex where they do this. But the thing is about Johnnies, about condoms, is that they absolutely do not prevent all kinds of STIs, because there's quite a few different STIs that can be passed purely through skin to skin contact.
Oh, my gosh.
And so this is something to recognize, you know, when it's often said now that there's no such thing as safe sex. And now what that isn't designed to scaremonger people, to frighten them. It's to recognize that there's no such thing as safe sex, just like there's no such thing as safe driving, no safe eating at restaurants, no safe walking down the street. No matter what precautions you take, something not so great could happen to you as a result of doing these things. So basically, you have to decide what risks you're comfortable with in order to, you know, to go ahead with the activity. You know, so this is where the information comes in, because it's not as simple as throwing on a Johnny and then thinking that you're absolutely fine.
Interesting point. So what STIs can you get from skin to skin or oral sex?
Yeah, so you can get HPV, which is human papillomavirus. Now, it seems like somewhere between 80 and possibly even 100% of people will have HPV at some point in their lives. There's many different types of it, and you know, most of them go completely undetected, and your body will generally get rid of HPV within a couple of years anyway. So the thing is, you might not even know, because you might not have any symptoms. A lot of routine sexual health screenings, you know, getting tested doesn't even test for it, so you usually have to ask specifically. So that's one that you could have. Now, some types of HSV can cause you know, certain problems and certain symptoms, but you know, once we can recognize how commonplace this is, we can sort of normalize this, which is definitely not to do away with sharing information and talking openly about this. In fact, it should stimulate us, you know, hopefully inspire us to talk about it even more.
So between 80 and 100% of people will have the HPV. So the HPV vaccine, would
yes.
that count? Would that, I mean, is that going to help with that problem?
Yeah, for sure. So that's, you know, as with a lot of vaccines, well, some anyway, it's unclear, you know, exactly how effective they are. And also because there's different types and different strains.
Right.
And also the fact that you can have, it can lie dormant in your system potentially for many years. So there's lots of different things for us to consider. And the best way to go about this is to go and research yourself, get more information,
talk to your GP. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do STIs affect different genders in the same way?
You know, this is an interesting one as well, because I think that depending on, you know, a lot of STIs do tend to affect people with vaginas worse, you know, in terms of fertility, in terms of the symptoms, in terms of how long they might last. And also we still have this societal aspect, which is that women and people with vaginas generally are seen as being more sort of dirty or loose or damaged goods if they contract an STI, you know, or if they have sex before a certain age, or if they have multiple partners. And this construct never really seems to apply to men, especially straight men. And so, we, you know, it's not actually that the STIs affect people necessarily in very different ways, but that there's a different social aspect or expectation about that, which I think is really important, because again, you know, if people are feeling a lot of shame and fear around this, they're going to be less likely to get tested because they're afraid of the, you know, what's going to come out of that. They're afraid of being judged. They're going to be less likely to talk to people about it. They're probably going to be even less likely to research information about it, which is why this culture of fear and shame is so, so dangerous, because obviously it's going to make STIs more likely if people are going around thinking either that if you're on the pill, or let's say if you're in a monogamous relationship, then that must mean that you can't contract an STI, when, as I said, some of them can lie dormant for a long time, and also that they can be spread through skin to skin contact. So lots of stuff.
And I think it's not just if you have symptoms, get tested. If you're sexually active or intimate with people, multiple people or whatever, you know, get tested. There's a huge epidemic going on at the moment in Melbourne of syphilis, which is crazy. And, you know, we spoke to a reporter there and we're like, well, what's going on? Is it because they came out of lockdown and they're just going bananas? It was like, no, it's really lack of testing and people just not knowing they have it and, you know, Getting tested. Is it easy though, Rachel, to get tested? I mean, is it readily available?
It is. You know, it's really easy to get tested once you figure out who's close by to you. You know, there's lots of places where you can get at-home test kits and then send them in now as well. You know, so I think I certainly see it for a lot of reasons. I think it's a lot more common in the LGBTQ plus community for people to be much more open and to chat about it, which I think is great. But in the more, you know, cisgendered heterosexual spheres, for some reason, it still seems to be quite far behind in terms of the chats about it. And there's still being a lot of shame around talking about sexual health and your, you know, sexual health, STI status, and just the sharing of information. But, you know, a lot of these, you know, we're still so frightened of these things when actually most of them, you know, can be pretty easily treated with antibiotics. And then the ones that can't, most of them can be managed pretty well. You know, even just like the knowledge of how fearful people still are about AIDS and HIV. And, you know, realistically, HIV is very different from AIDS. And with the right treatment, people with HIV don't transmit the virus. Mm-hmm. They can take certain kinds of medication, which make them that their HIV is undetectable, which means that they're untransmittable. You know?
Yeah. So shout out to science in the medical world who made that feasible. But let's talk about the conversation and being open with partners. I mean, like nowadays, it's advisable to not only get, you know, said partner to sign, like to talk about consent, but also disclose sexual history, health history. I mean, when do you have that conversation, Rachel? I mean, what's the crack?
I think doing it before, you know, you can share this over text beforehand. You know, some people will put it on their Tinder profiles. I've seen this on Tinder bios where people will say that they have the HSV, which is herpes type 1 or type 2. They might put that on their profile, which again is very, very common. Lots of people have this. But, you know, I think it's a great step in the right direction that you can inform people, because this is part of informed consent. You know, the conversation about whether to tell partners is quite mixed. You know, I've certainly encountered GPs who will say you don't need to tell a partner because, you know, this is so common and, you know, the strain that you have is very unlikely to cause any problems. But most people will feel like that just doesn't sit right with them. You know, there are certain types of high risk HPV, which is the human papillomavirus that we mentioned earlier, you know, so you need to sort of know what that means exactly, you know, about transmission and that sort of thing. So, you know, you get to decide yourself how you'll tell people. And you might do that, you know, right before you have sex. You might do it, you know, straight away once you start talking to somebody. And really, I think going about this in a straightforward way, if you go about it sounding, you know, fearful and ashamed of yourself, people are going to pick up on that. And especially if they don't have the information, then they might respond in a way that makes you feel even more ashamed. Whereas you can go about a disclosure very easily. You know, you can say something like, I have a skin condition that causes flare ups from time to time. This condition is herpes. It's pretty manageable, most of all when I'm on suppressive medication. Do you know anyone else who's had it? You might say something like, before we go any further, I want to let you know that I have genital herpes. It honestly very rarely affects me physically. And it has been, you know, X months or years since I had an outbreak. The stigma is actually much worse than the virus itself. I do my best to be as safe and knowledgeable possible. So if you have any questions at all, don't hesitate to ask. I can, you know, someone might add in that they understand if this means you don't want to move forward with a sexual relationship at this time. But I, you know, have been enjoying our time together and, you know, thanks for being upfront about this.
Tricky,
you know,
conversations to have.
Yeah, exactly. And if we're talking about being tested, you know, literally just ask, when were you last tested? We need to get away from using language like, are you clean? Because the problem with using the word clean implies that STDs and STIs are dirty, when it can be absolutely nothing to do with that. You know, you only need to have had one partner for you to potentially have contracted an STI, and you can have had what people call safe sex, which is with a condom, and still contract an STI because, as we said, quite a few different STIs can be contracted through oral sex and just through skin to skin contact. You don't even need to have had penetrative sex or penis and vagina sex.
Testing. Everybody needs to get tested and know where you're at before you need to have those conversations or look after yourself. I mean, that is the huge problem, is people just don't know they have it and then have no knowledge about it. And then it creeps up on them years later, I suspect. So go and get yourselves tested. Rachel Cook, thank you so much for joining us again this week. We'll chat to you next week.
Talk to you, Jen.
Thanks, love. That is Rachel Cook. She's a psychotherapist and mental health consultant. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And she'll be back with us next week. As always, she is here every Wednesday around this time. And I just want to say, if there is anything in your relationship, your sexual relationship, your intimate relationship, sexual, anything like that, she's the woman. She is the woman. And if you would like us to discuss something in particular, all you got to do is email me, and you can remain anonymous if you like. That is no problem. But you send an email to jen@rt.ie and then we can put it to her because she is phenomenal. We'll be back after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.